Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and it's time to labrish. It's my pleasure to welcome you to the backyard this evening. It is a beautiful day here in my city, or it was. Today is December 1st, 2010, and I really just cannot believe that we're at the end of the year. Seems like it just started. And I think that is what happens when you get to be a senior citizen, because there's so much information being stored in the computers that we have in our heads that it seems to be speeding up everything else. So it seems like yesterday that it was Christmas. And here I am getting ready for the holiday season again. So if you are like me and love Christmas and have wonderful memories of Christmas when you were growing up, I know this is going to be a great month for you, because I have wonderful memories of my Christmases when I was growing up on the beautiful island of Jamaica. And for our visitors coming by who might not know, this is a show that is designed to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So I welcome everyone from the diaspora. I welcome the visitors to the island who might be curious about what we do on the show, and I welcome all the newcomers and all my fans. And I see that we have callers on the board. I'm not sure if we have callers online, but if you're there, I do welcome you and hope that you will call in so that we can have you join the labrish. So tonight, I came across an interesting subject as I was doing my research to come up with something for the show, and I'm going to try to connect all the loose ends for my loyal fans that love to listen to me just babble about my history. But some time ago, I have a dear cousin that lives in Toronto, and she told me about a publication which was sort of fairly new to her and unknown to me, and it is In Miserable Slavery by Thomas Hall. And I want to read you a little bit about the preview of this book. This is not what we're going to discuss tonight, but it is connected to what we're going to discuss tonight. So for those who might not know about this book, because I'm always talking about the importance of leaving our own personal history, this fits right in, although it was written, I mean, the contents that is published now was written many, many, many years ago, but it's still relevant to the whole objective of us as individuals. So let me just read from the Warwick University Caribbean Studies. Thomas Thistlewood lived in Western Jamaica as a small landowner between 1750 and 1786 when he died. During this time, he chronicled almost daily the life and happenings around him. The manuscript of his diary, some 10,000 pages long, was deposited in the local archives at Lincoln, from whence he came, and has never been published. By judicious and extensive quotations, Professor Hall has written a remarkable account of this Caribbean Boswell. The diaries concentrated on local happenings and unriveled in the insight it gives us into the human relations between master and slave. The contrast between brutality and care, into methods of social control, disease and their cure, financial matters, the problems of runaways, of relations with Maroons, and the light it throws on Tacky's rebellion of 1760. Professor Hall has brought to his account insights derived from living in the same region of Western Jamaica where Thistlewood's estate lay. The book provides unique insights and understandings of the social history of Jamaica at that period. Douglas Hall, a Jamaican, was formerly at the Department of History at the University of the West Indies in Mona. Now, I don't know if any of my listeners are familiar with this publication, but I wasn't. And it's really ironic that I was given this book as a gift just a few months ago when I had a small family reunion with this cousin from Toronto who told me about the book some time ago. And she brought the book as a gift. Now, I have started to read the book, and it's very, very interesting. I don't know if it's available on Amazon. I really didn't research that. And I am not going to be really discussing the content of the book today, but I just wanted to tell you how the book played a part in selecting what we're going to talk about tonight, which is the early cinema in Jamaica. What Jamaicans had seen from the 18th century. And this is an article that I found on one of my favorite historian sites, Dr. Joy Lumsden, who I have shared with my listeners, is a English-born person who married a Jamaican many moons ago when she was in college and moved to Jamaica and raised her family there. She is now retired. She was a professor at the university. She's now retired and is dedicating her life to put pieces of the past together about Jamaica. And it's really just very fascinating. So I was going through her pages to find something to discuss tonight when I came across this article that mentioned this book. And I said, isn't that something? Now, the material on the early cinema is not complete or not lengthy because Dr. Lumsden apparently is gathering her information, and she's doing several pages at the same time. And as she comes across some history that can be verified, then she connects it to whatever page she's working on. So there's really not a lot about this. But the point I'm trying to make is that because Thistlewood mentioned something in his diaries that apparently he was just keeping or chronicling for his own interests, because he liked to record things, I suppose, because a lot of people weren't doing it at the time, but he did. He wrote everything, well, not everything, but several things that happened during his daily life. And it's so fascinating that for the listeners who really enjoy history, and especially the real history, because he's just writing from his observations. He was not a writer. It's just his personal notes that were discovered by Professor Hall. So I just think the whole scenario is so fascinating to me. But again, the title of the book is In Miserable Slavery. So let me tell you what Dr. Lumsden had to say that connected me with this book. Her editorial was What Jamaicans Had Seen from the 18th Century, Magic Lanterns. The earliest reference to a magic lantern in Jamaica that I have found so far are in the diary of Thomas Thistlewood. According to Professor Douglas Hall's survey of the diary In Miserable Slavery, Thistlewood received his magic lanthorn, it's spelled L-A-N-T-H-O-R-N, in January of 1764. There appears to be no reference to any slides arriving at the time, but these must have existed for him to be able to put on his magic lanthorn show. He mentions this show on several occasions, and clearly he must have often have put it on for his visitors. This is what she's assuming because of his notes that were taken and written in the book that Dr. Hall put together. Now, the next reference that I have found is in the appendix to Philip Wright's edition of Lady Nugent's journal, in which it is recorded that the governor, General Nugent, paid £12 to John Munns for a magic lantern with slides on September 13th, 1804. There does not seem to be any reference to a magic lantern show being put on for the governor's family and guests. Now, here is my point about all of this. The point is, here, these are two different people, I suppose, at two different times that were journaling or writing about their daily lives. I've seen this Lady Nugent's journal mentioned in Pieces of the Past, which I quote from a lot of times, which is online through Dr. Rebecca Tortello's articles in Pieces of the Past that the Gleaner Company has online. So that is something you can check out, and I hope to do that particular article for one of the shows. There is just so much information to cover that I just stay in fascination about all of this. And, of course, I'm always asking my listeners if there's anything you'd like to contribute or in some way you want to elaborate on what I'm saying or add to it, or, as I say, put in your 2 cents or do a sidebar, please raise your hands by hitting 1 on your telephone, and that will tell me. I have a switchboard. I'm looking at all the numbers on the board, and I see 973-718-631. 404, 305. So I see everybody on the board. I don't know who you are, but I can see your numbers. And I'm always anxious to really make this into a labrish, because a labrish is when people of like minds get together and perhaps have a discussion about a subject. So there's my invitation out, but I just want to really reiterate the importance of each of us in our own way leaving some sort of legacy, because here are these two people who was not really writing, I don't think, for anybody else but themselves. They weren't writers, they weren't journalists, they weren't, you know, authors. They were just writing because they wanted to, I suppose. And Lady Nugent did the same thing that Thistlewood did, just write about daily activities in her household. And she was the wife of the governor then, and this was 1804. So my point is, how many of us have stories that we might not think is important, but it is, because here we are now, at least me and the history fans, that are being so thrilled to know that Thistlewood was writing something, and we eventually found out, and Dr. Lumsden thought it was important because he was the first one to mention a magic lantern. Now, from my little research, I found out that the magic lantern actually was the first equipment that you would see what would be sort of a picture, you know, or a form of something or someone. So she mentioned that Thistlewood didn't mention about slides that he put in this magic lantern, but she assumed that he must have had some, he just didn't write about it. Now, Lady Nugent wrote that the lantern was bought and the slides came with it. So we know now that it was something apparently that you changed. She does have pictures. If anyone is curious, they can go to Google Dr. Joy Lumsden in Google, I mean her name in Google, and you will find all her pages. And she has really interesting stuff. So let me go back to what she talks about now. Now, these two references, back to her article, these two references at least show that magic lanterns were known in Jamaica from the 18th century. Unfortunately, there is so far no indication as to how widespread their use was at that period. Now she's talking about transparencies. Probably the most extraordinary and significant transparency created in Jamaica was that displayed in Montego Bay on August 1st, 1838, at the end of apprenticeship. Now, for some of you who are familiar with Jamaican's history, you know that the apprenticeship was the period between emancipation and total freedom. So apparently there was some display, public display in Montego Bay that used this magic lantern with the transparencies during that period or at the end of that period. So I'm saying all this to say, again, small as that island was, there was so much going on there that was up to date and, you know, in with the times because of the people that were there, I suppose. But, you know, it was, I'm going to read some of the information I found about this, these transparencies and when they started in France, really, that will show you the connection. And I am just so intrigued because Jamaica and Jamaicans, whether they were enslaved or the slave masters or what, the people on the island way back when had equipment and access to things that were, I suppose, it was rare. It was not available necessarily all over the world. So I just think of that as being something very special. And for those of you who are fans of the show, you know how many times we have spoken about Jamaica and Jamaicans being the first in so many areas and have performed remarkably well all over the world at different periods in different industries for different reasons. So I was quite enthralled, I mean just everything, about this article and its connection to the Thistlewood papers. So back to Dr. Lumsden, early methods, magic lantern and dissolving views, greater sophistication. Now, Edison's first moving picture machine was called the kinetoscope. It's spelled K-I-N-E-T-O-S-C-O-P-E. And if there's, if my loyal listener from the fan, from the Bronx, my loyal fan from the Bronx, would like to correct me. I'm not a very good speller, so sometimes I mispronounce the words. Anyway, it whatever way you pronounce that, that was the first machine that could show moving pictures. Of course, there were not the moving pictures that we know now because they moved slide by slide or frame by frame. Now, at first, this is Dr. Lumsden writing, at first I had thought the original kinetoscope for individual viewers had not reached Jamaica. However, the two newspaper items below suggest that it did reach Kingston, but probably did not catch on as there do not seem to be other references to it. The projecting kinetoscope made a much greater impact. We understand, this is an article from the Jamaican Post, that if you remember when we did the Jamaican Gleaner, how it originated at one time, it was called the Post, and that was in 1895. So she states here that the Jamaican Post in 1895, April 2nd, page 2, column 6, we understand that wizard, in parenthesis, Edison's latest achievement along the lines of electrical invention, the kinetoscope has arrived in Jamaica and will be placed on exhibition. Some of our readers may not yet be aware that this wonderful instrument is used in connection with the equally wonderful, how now familiar, photography. It does for the eye what the photographer does for the ear. Whilst the audience listened to the sweet strains of music of some singer or orator, they also witness the movement and changes of facial expression at every second during the performance. This is not in a series of pictures, but in a single picture with moving figures, for the eye cannot appreciate the electric victory with which the picture belt flashes the plates before it. Dramatic representations, circus performances, prize fights, etc., are reproduced with equal faithfulness. I don't know about my readers, my listeners, but I'm just intrigued at how the writers of old time wrote, you know, how they arranged their words, because I suppose it was called, some of it was called Old English at the time, and some of my peers that would be my age group will perhaps know a little bit about what I'm talking about, Old English, but just how they, the words they would use, you know, connect to each other or to describe things are a little strange now. But, you know, it was considered proper English at the time. Now, back to another article in the Gleaner of 1895, April 8th, on page 8, page 2, column 7. Dr. Lumsden is very precise in her research. And I am sure she really has a passion for history, because this must be very time-consuming, because she's trying to piece stories together by finding an article in the paper. And incidentally, she has a beautiful picture of one Mr. T. Ellis Jackson, who was an early cinema operator in Kingston. So the story doesn't go on about him. There's no story about him. There's just a picture of him, and apparently she must have found that someplace. And incidentally, Dr. Lumsden is always asking if there's anyone out there that has any information or know where she can find some verification of anything that she has on our website, or new information. She's always anxious and hungry to have it. And her email address is online. So let me go on to the second article that she found in the Gleaner. The first one was in the Jamaican Post, and this is when I suppose it became the Gleaner, or this is perhaps another publication. A wonderful invention. Edison's latest invention, the kinetoscope, is truly a wonderful invention. It preserves and reproduces pictures of the natural movement of life, the same as the natural voice is reproduced on the phonograph. The kinetoscope is now on view at 68.5 King Street and is well worth seeing. Looking at the picture before you, you forget all about the wonderful mechanism of the machine in wonderment at the naturalness of the scene. Staring at the Sundance, for instance, one can easily imagine he's watching Lanier Fuller on the stage. Every change of expression, every movement is most clearly shown, and it is the same with all the other scenes. In connection with the kinetoscope is exhibited a photograph. We advise all those who have not already done so to examine this truly marvelous invention. Now, there's a note under this article that says shortly afterwards, 68.5 King Street was advertised for rent. So apparently this place was specially built, because it says this newly built compound, and it gives the number and all of that, is for rent and you must apply to this person. But apparently this was built for this exhibition of this great new invention of Edison. So my point is, we had all sorts of things going on there on the island, almost simultaneously as it was happening in other parts of the world, because I suppose of the importance or the wealth of the people who were living there at the time. But I really found that quite interesting. And at this time, I'm going to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week on a Wednesday. Wow, I'm really getting messed up here. On a Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. The reason for this show is to help some Jamaicans like me that perhaps when they were growing up in Jamaica did not have time or the interest or availability of the material at the time. And for me, I don't remember when I was young being really interested in history. But now, somehow, it's really intriguing me. And I know that there's hope, even though we think our young people are not interested in our history. You would be surprised, perhaps, when they mature like us and they're getting older, they will find it very interesting. So I don't know about you, but all this research has really prompted me to write my story or speak my story or tell my story, because I don't know, but just my great-great-great-grandchildren just may be interested in what life was like when I was growing up in Jamaica, the years I had there. I've spent more time here in the United States than I did there. I've actually spent more time in the state I live now than I ever lived in Jamaica. However, I still have fond memories and want to retain them, because things have changed all over the world as they have in Jamaica. And even the Jamaicans that are growing up there now perhaps don't know what life was like in the 40s and 50s, just as I am. I'm amazed at the things that went on in 1846 and 1749. So I am sure that there will be people in the next generation that will find our stories very fascinating. So with this said, I am going to ask for my loyal listener from the Bronx, I see you on the board, to raise your hands, please. Hit one on your telephone. Okay, I guess they must. Oh, yes, I see a hand. So I am going to welcome this caller. I think I know who it is, but I'm going to ask for an identification. Good evening. You've got Margaret in the backyard. I'm in my easy chair. I'm feeling the trade winds across my face.
Yes, this is Leif, the Bronx, and there is no trade winds up here, just high winds. 70, 80 miles an hour.
We had that yesterday. We had a little tornado go through not too far away. But today was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to share with me tonight and the rest of the callers?
Well, you know, this is interesting stuff you're doing that, you know, you don't normally encounter in your study of history or remember any of these things about kinescopes and stuff like that, you know?
Right, right. Were you aware of the In Miserable Slavery publication?
No.
Oh,
I haven't come across that at all.
Well, I didn't know about it, but as I said, my cousin in Toronto did.
Of these books are surfacing now for some reason, but when I was growing up, we didn't find any documentation, or if there were books, it was the books weren't well known to the public, you know, the people
right,
didn't just
right, right. But what is interesting about this particular book is that the actual 10,000 pages was in this man's hometown and has been there since he died.
Richard.
Now, it doesn't say how it got there.
Yeah, well, that proves the point. These things get buried, and, I mean, like, who is interested in that that era, you know?
Yeah.
How we're more interested in that we really had a history as colorful as you describe in several instances, with several phases, different things that go on that Jamaicans always seem to excel in, but it wasn't documented, so we didn't know of these things. It wasn't published. Communications were the means of communication were not as it is now. So something happens, a book comes out, you might see it on Oprah, or you might see, you know, you're go to Barnes and Nobles, and there it is, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
It's good.
And I'm hoping that the mature generation will really use the technology we have now, because these people didn't have it then. You know,
yeah.
Even in my mother's day, it wasn't available to document as well. I mean, well, they could write, and I had several of the things that my mother had wrote and made tapes and things like that. But I had a fire, so I lost them. So my point always is how blessed we are now to have cyberspace.
Yep.
That is not only connecting the entire world, but, you know, it gives us an opportunity to store our information wherever cyberspace is, and in one form or another, it won't be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So it is just, we need to be embracing the technology and encouraging our peers to do so. I wanted to sort of elaborate a little. It doesn't have to do with Jamaica directly, but indirectly it does, because it's because of this information why I was interested to know about all of this. I was trying to find information on the first movie that was shown in Jamaica, but I could not find, you know, which was the first theater. I'm going to do a show on the Ward Theater. I don't remember if I did it already. But I don't think that Ward Theater might have been, I don't know, shown the first film or when the first moving picture was shown in a theater, in a public place like that. I know that, as I mentioned, I went to the library and saw the silent movies. But at that time, the movies were in the regular theaters. You know, I just went to see the silent movies because it was sort of cool to see it from that period, is what I mean. But we had cowboy movies and all the black and white movies. We didn't have color at the time. But this I came across this article now about the first movie was shown on March 22nd, 1895 in Paris, France, by an organization, the National Society for the Promotion of Industry. That is where the first movie was shown. And the workers gathered to watch a film depicting factory workers leaving for the dinner hour. It was invented by brothers Louis Luthier in 1864, two brothers, they were 31 and 33 at the time, respectively. The device is some device that they invented to do that. The device was a vast improvement over the one that I just described. Now, what is the right pronunciation of it, sir?
You mean the
K-I-N-E-T-O-S-C-O-P-E.
Kinescope?
Yes, kinescope.
Yeah.
That was invented in 1894 by Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
Whose film could be viewed by only one person at the time. But they made a 16 frame per second mechanism that showed this first movie. Isn't that something? On April 20th, 1896, the first motion picture showing in the United States took place in New York. The film was shown with Thomas Edison's Vistascope, which was an improvement over his first invention.
A what scope?
V-I-S-T-A-S-C-O-P-E.
Vistascope.
So I find those things all so intriguing. You know, we take it for granted now, you know, the movies are so real and all of the, you know, special effects and all of that. And we don't really stop to think where it's coming from. You know, we've come a long way, baby, as the saying goes. But to think that shortly after all of this was going on, it was available in Jamaica. And as I said, this picture of this man that I quoted, Mr. Jackson, Ellis Jackson, he's a black man. I mean, he wasn't an Englishman who was owner. Apparently, he was an operator of the theater, the place in Kingston that had this machine that showed that people, that it was on, you know, exhibition and people could look at it. And it goes to show how even from those days, there were always Jamaicans of different colors, I mean, in prominence in a lot of different areas. So we were not, as Jamaicans growing up, seeing people of color in certain categories or industries and areas of things was just very commonplace to us. Do you feel the same way? But it was even way before our time, is what
I think. Yeah, well, you know, we looked at it as a Jamaican is a Jamaican, and it was an industrious person and was always into things, always wanted to get the cutting edge of whatever was available around, even in the world. I mean, to this day, Jamaicans want to have the top brand name anything, the best car, you know, and
right,
they
right.
knew about these things. Amazingly. So from an early time, they were that way.
Yes, it goes way back. Mm-hmm. But back to the movie industry now, or the cinema. Now, the first practical, and in parentheses, as with light, electricity, and film, and it said motion picture was shown to an invited audience on June 16, 1894, in Richmond, Indiana. So, you know, it was quite a novelty in those days. It was a motion picture projecting box. And it was named PHANTOSCOPE. So here's another machine now, a pantoscope. The film showed a vaudeville dancer performing a butterfly dance. Jenkins filed a patent for the projector in November of 1894, and the patent was issued in 1895. Now, on June 6, 1894, exhibition was the first documented showing of a film motion picture before an audience. So, you know, there are different dates here at different parts of the world. Then this was why this was listed in the Photographic Times of July 1897. So I just thought it was quite interesting, you know, how we can go back. And boy, I just love Mr. Google or Mrs. Google, whoever Google is, because there is so much information that you can find by just Googling. And I'm sharing with my audience that the information is always there. I know a lot of people do not have the passion or the patience for doing the research themselves because, you know, life is so busy, although we have all the modern things you can think of, life gets busier. So I am grateful for the people who come by and listen on their computers or dial in and listen, even though they don't participate and interact with me. I can see them on the board and know that they most times stay the full length of the show. So I am taking that to mean that perhaps they find it interesting. So, Mr. Lay, yes. I am, as I said, this all of this is just so new to me, and I am just so fascinated when I come upon the stories. And the interesting thing is that people are passing the information around because I can look and see the statistics on the platform that I use, Blog Talk Radio. And the show that we did on the reluctant comrade, remember that? The Jamaican who was taken to Russia?
Yeah.
It gets so many hits, as does the show on birds. Apparently there are a lot of bird watchers who are interested in the novelty of the Jamaican birds. And I say, apparently people prefer to listen sometimes than to read.
Well,
so,
I can tell you as a senior, I'm a bird watcher.
Oh, really?
Of course.
So have you ever been out with any bird watching groups?
Oh, I just watch them from my, if I'm going to the supermarket, I watch them because I'm apparently in a migratory path, and you never know what you're going to see, which one you're going to see touching down at a given day, but I watch them all.
Oh,
and,
great.
And
yes.
Each year, they seem to come back in greater numbers, so... But when I travel, you know, if I go to Costa Rica, you can see teams of people with their little books and trying to identify certain birds. I don't bring the books along with me, but I observe the birds just the same.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Very good. So we can sort of see why the show is so popular, because there are a lot of bird watchers out there.
Yep.
But I want to invite the callers too that would like to interact about the cinema idea. But I just find it so fascinating that, as I mentioned before, that we take it for granted when we go to the movie now. Everything is so smooth and different, and we have, you know, all sorts of animation and special effects and all of that. But this all started with just a few people, you know, just a few people getting an idea, working on it. Needless to say, there are articles here that I found where, you know, one man tried to get a patent on something, then he went to England, the thing wasn't patented there, so he tried to patent the same thing there. There's always, because we are humans, and even though we have evolved and come a long way, a lot of things that are going on now that we get so appalled about, it used to go on, you know, long ago. Nothing much have changed in our behavior sometimes.
You know,
everything is more, I suppose, instant now. You know what's happening because of the power of the internet.
You know, it just dawned on me as we are about to talk about this that it's not often we would say, even in our time, that we're going to the cinema.
Right.
We say we're going to the movies.
Right. Uh-huh.
Even in this country, they don't say they're going to the cinema.
Uh-huh.
But the early stages of moving pictures in the old days was called the cinema in the first place. It defines the motion picture industry, that particular word. So sometimes you don't connect the cinema to movies, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Right.
What I'm saying. So,
I certainly do.
Yeah.
Quite interesting. Well, I also want to bring us up a subject now as I talk about people making a difference and people with ideas and passion, because I'm all about passion. I bill myself as the passionate senior, and that's my handle. But actually, today is a very, very special day. Because, do you have an idea why it is so special, Leigh?
Well, offhand, I don't know, but they're celebrating a few things today, and maybe that's a topic for another discussion, like, for instance, National AIDS Day.
Uh-huh.
And there are things in my private life why today is a special day, but what do you have in mind?
Okay. And I am going to read 55 years ago, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on a bus.
Yes, that was another thing, yes.
An act that challenged the moral consciousness of an entire nation.
And
I'm reading from something I
downloaded
on the internet. I think the president spoke about this today.
Yes, today begins Hanukkah as well.
Yes. But reading from what the president said, the Montgomery bus boycott marked a turning point in American history, the moment when we began the march towards the civil rights movement and the eventual outlawing of racial segregation and discrimination. Rosa Parks and the many other leaders and foot soldiers in that struggle for justice championed our founding principles of freedom and equality for all. And today, as we commemorate the anniversary of the Montgomery bus boycott, I encourage all Americans to honor their legacy, the legacy of Americans who marched bravely, worked tirelessly, and devoted their lives to the never-ending task of making our country a more perfect union. And that was a quote from the president's speech today. So I missed it. I did not hear it. And I just thought I would mention it to our readers. I knew this morning because when I always check my news online, and I knew that it was the Rosa Parks Day, as they call it, because I read it. But it also brought to mind something, Leigh, just as I mentioned in a lot of the things I do about Jamaica, because you think 55 years ago, a lot of Jamaicans living in Jamaica at the time had no idea, because we didn't have the type of information transfer as we do now. You know, something happened in the darkest part, the smallest part of the world, and the rest of us know it instantly. The communication is so fast. But 55 years ago, a lot of people in other parts of the world had no clue what was happening in Montgomery. You get my point?
Right.
We're not aware of it. in different parts of the world, I'm sure, including Jamaica, at that particular time on that particular day, as it would be front page news here in the United States, not necessarily so in Jamaica or in other parts of the world. So I just, you know, it just brought to mind the times we live in now in terms of available information. And it's all of this is bringing the world closer together, I think. You know, because something happens and in a nanosecond, the rest of the world knows. If the earth shakes in one end of the world, instantly, or while it's shaking, somebody's transferring a picture, transmitting a picture to another end of the world.
Did you hear we had an earthquake here yesterday?
Yes. One of my listeners mentioned, I spoke to her this morning, and she mentioned to me that she felt an earthquake yesterday and wasn't aware it was an earthquake at the time until afterwards. So I we had a little twister, but no earthquake. I've never felt an earthquake here in Georgia. I don't think so. Can't remember. But thank God it wasn't, you know, severe. So did you feel it?
No.
Oh, it was in the Bronx, I see.
Yeah, it was just up in New Rochelle.
It was
2 miles
in New Rochelle?
Away.
Oh,
people interesting. Felt it. I just didn't feel it.
I got you. I suppose if you were moving, you know, she mentioned that she was really still, that she was laying down when she felt it. I suppose if you were walking or riding or driving, it was not enough for you to detect it unless
right.
You're super sensitive. But if you are stationary, you perhaps would have felt it. But anyway, I wanted to, at this point, let me look at the time, open up the board if anybody would like to put in their 2 cents. And I would really be curious as to some, I would be grateful for some suggestions of what people would like me to cover. I just keep going back in all of this historic stuff that I absolutely love anyhow, and I will encourage people to try and get this publication, and I'm going to try to finish reading it before I do a show about it. It's quite interesting, and as I say, I'm always intrigued as to how the people in 17-something and 18-something, how they wrote, you know, and put their words together to describe things is quite different from the way we wrote in our times and even how people are writing now, because we can't even talk about how people are writing now because people understand text. There's a different language in texting that unless you're a texter, you don't know what certain things means. Because the other day, somebody sent me something and it said LOL, and I said, oh, that means lots of love. And then somebody said to me, not necessarily, it could be laugh out loud. And I said, oh, excuse me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So apparently the way we communicate has changed over the centuries, not in terms of our method of communication, but how we language it. And it is changing again. Because now, you know, words have different meanings and we're getting new words introduced in our language. You know, we come up with new set of words, with new groups of words each year that are added. I read someplace the other day where a word that was used several times by one of our politicians, and we don't discuss politics here, but people will perhaps know what I'm talking about, was entered into the dictionary as a new word. Were you familiar with that, Leigh?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, it was. I personally, I don't think it was necessary, but anyway, it was introduced in the dictionary as a new word, that word that was put together by a politician, because they used it so often, and it, I suppose the majority of the people got the meaning of it, so it became a word. But anyway, with that said, I'm asking members or callers on the board if you would like to put your two cents in on what we have discussed so far. Please do so. We're about out of time, and I am going to be terminating the show quite soon. But I do want to say that we are going to be talking about celebrating our celebration the way we knew it as we were growing up during the Christmas season in Jamaica. So I'm asking the listeners if they have any Christmas stories or customs that, I don't think the customs all over the island was necessarily the same. I don't know where to find any documentation on that. I think perhaps the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage might give me some help there. But I know in different parts of the island, especially in the old days, things may have been celebrated a little differently. So I'm going to be doing some research on that. So if any of our listeners have any ideas that they'd like to share with me, I'd be more than happy to receive it. So, Leigh, with that said, I am going to bid you good night. Thank you, for, as usual, for your participation. And
just a quick word that as far as the cinema in Jamaica goes, back in 1921, the Palace Amusement Company became public.
Oh, it was private before?
Yes, and you kind of alluded to that but didn't go into it.
No, but I was looking for some research and, you know, didn't find it. I was trying to find out when the first movie was shown in Jamaica.
Well, that I can't tell you, but it has to be prior to 1921, because in 1921, guys were already making the movie environment public, and it was quite, there were several people wanting to do the same thing, so they were competing against each other.
Wow.
And it turns out that if you have heard of J. Arthur Rank, who owned Carib at one time, he was bought out by an industrious Jamaican guy whose family took over the cinema industry, the Grahams, Russell Graham.
And the industry comprised of more than one theater, or just Carib?
Well, no, that's the whole thing. There were several theaters, but owned by different groups.
Oh, I got you.
And this Russell Graham, over time, consolidated them.
Oh.
And even bought out the J. Arthur Rank from the UK.
We don't have
time now to go into each different, the Palace Group, the Gaiety Group, and the Carib groups.
Perhaps that's what we should do for our next show next week.
Well, it's not all that much, because I read it from the point of view of owning shares in the Palace Amusement Corporation.
Oh, I got you.
They just documented the different stages of development and consolidation of the cinema industry.
Oh, so is the Carib Theater still publicly owned?
Oh, yes.
By shareholders?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And this Russell Graham He was bought out by his brother Douglas Graham.
Uh-huh.
And so it goes, you know. They, and if you looked at their balance sheet or their financial report, you would see that all of the Grahams, including siblings and in-laws, own this company still.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And not only, it was also connected at the, you know, back in, let's say, 1947, to the Cayman cinema industry. It was all like one and the same, even in Cayman.
I see. Now, let me ask you something, because I'm a little unclear about this. Was the Ward Theater showing films? I'm showing pictures?
No, Ward Theater is in a slightly different category, because it
right, that's what I thought. It's more considered like a performing art.
Yes, it was
play.
Like stage shows as opposed to
right. Actually, yes. So I was right in my thinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
so was Carib the first theater in Kingston to show the cinema?
No. Before Carib, you had
Palace,
yes, and
Gaiety.
Yeah, and
that's the only thing I can remember.
Right, and Carib was built in 1938.
And the others up was in existence before.
Prior to that. But after 1921, I mean, it's a short interval, but there were actually different companies showing the movies of different producers, like Warner Brothers.
Right.
And 20th Century Fox and J. Arthur Rank. Each movie house produced showed the movies of these different movie houses.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
And,
well, it's like a brand name thing.
Yes. Until they were consolidated in, like, way down in like 1952, when this Russell Graham began to build Tropical.
Yes, I remember that one now.
Odeon and Mandeville and Odeon and Halfway Tree and stuff like that, you know.
Uh-huh. But is there any, I don't see anything about those things in Wikipedia or anything like that.
Well, if you go online and just a cinema in Jamaica, you will see that. Cinema cinema in Jamaica.
I got you. Okay.
And then it developed.
Well, that was very interesting information, and thanks for enlightening us about that.
Yep.
Because do you know if, I know that the Carib is still a viable place and it's still operational, but do you know if any of the others, like Palace and Gaiety, is operational still?
Well, some of them are not, because if you recall, like back in 1962, when this consolidation was taking place, some of them were discontinued. You know, like if you remember, Harbor View Drive-In Theater was built around that time. That was part of the Russell Graham Investment Limited.
I got you. No, well, I left Jamaica in 59, so I don't know much about what happened after that.
True. Well, now that you mentioned Carib was burnt down, and it was destroyed by fire.
Oh.
Rebuilt in 1996.
Oh, I see.
With a new concept in view. I mean, the what do you call them? Cinema complexes, there's a different name, that the same thing, multiplex is what we call it. And they call it there too. For instance, Carib now has five different screens.
Also, you can be watching five different movies.
You can go to five different movies, yes.
Oh, I got you. So it's similar to what the format here.
Right. Okay.
So they have redesigned it then.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
with the times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because don't forget, Carb was, I'm sure you remember, was a wonderful, beautiful...
Oh, yes, I remember that. Very elegant, and, you know, we used to dress up to go to matinee. I see another raised hand, and we have a couple more minutes, so I'm going to open up the mic to 631-451. Good evening. You've got Margaret in the backyard, and Lay in the backyard, too, but in another city. Who do I have?
Good evening. This is Janine from Long Island.
Okay.
Hi. I just wanted to say when Carib was burnt down, it wasn't Carib. It was another business place that was burnt down. I remember as a child, burned down Crossroad. I don't know if you remember him. He used to walk with this basket on his head and he would sell fruits.
No, I don't remember.
Well, as a child, he would walk around and, you know, he would speak proper English and he would call out that he has sweet oranges, whatever, whatever. And the kids would run out in the street and provoke him. And I remember him saying as a child, If he didn't burn down the business place that was there, how would we get the Carib? He was the one that let us get the Carib Theater.
And oh, so you're saying that there was a fire there and then Carib was built?
And then Carib was built, and he was the one that burned it down because he was very intelligent. He was a lawyer, and something went down with him and his brother or whatever, and he burnt the place down. Because
oh, I got you. But that was before it was a theater.
Before it was Carib, yes.
Right. But Leigh, are you saying that it was burnt down again and rebuilt?
Well, the sequence of events, I'm not sure when Burned Down Crossroad did that, but I'm thinking then it happened twice.
Oh, I got
so
you.
It was burnt down again?
Yeah, before it was Carib.
Uh-huh.
And then now it's Carib. It was burnt down again.
Burnt down as Carib. Well,
yeah.
I don't think you can blame that one on Burned Down Crossroad.
Crossroad, no. But he made it clear that he was the one that gave us Carib.
But you would never have had a Carib.
You're right. If it wasn't for him,
take care of it, as
yeah,
he went to be.
Yeah, because he went to jail for many years for it.
Bundan Crossroad is a very famous man, known all over Kingston.
Yes, very intelligent.
As the best bad word man in
yes.
In
Kingston. I didn't use the bad word that he used to say.
Oh, yeah, we can't use that on the air.
We can't use it on the air, but he was famous for that.
I don't remember him at all. I remember the Burned Down Crossroad saying, but I don't remember a person.
Yes, everybody knows him, Madge.
Yeah. Huh?
Everybody knows.
Well, maybe Madge wasn't from Rockford, so she wouldn't know.
I might not have encountered him, you know, met him or been, but I don't remember the person. I remember the saying.
He used to walk around with a basket on his head, and he would sell oranges and grapefruits and tangerine, those kind of citrus.
And the thing
guess,
about
yeah.
it is,
yes.
Janine, he would compose his reply to people.
Yes.
In the form of bad words.
Bad word, because I tell you, he...
Really good poems, you know.
Yeah, my brother once, you know, provoked him, and he gave him a cursing that my mother had to come out to him, and I can't even tell you what he said. It was really something else, you know. But
he was a very smart fellow because
yeah.
I don't think anybody else could compose bad words
no.
that
no.
manner.
And when he's speaking, it's proper English. You know, even when he's cursing, it sounds like an English way. You know, it wasn't flat or patois or anything. Proper English. He was well spoken. Yeah.
Very interesting.
But he was a lawyer, and because of him burning down the building, he went to jail. And when he came out, I guess he got a little
crazy.
A little crack in the head, too.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Lost some marbles. I mean, he must have lost them while he was incarcerated. So.
Yes, but he made us, he didn't hesitate to let us know that it's because of him why we got the Carib. Because if he didn't burn down that place, they wouldn't build Carib. So
I got you.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't know it was burnt down twice. I didn't know that. I can't.
I'm not going to swear to that, the sequence of events, Janine. But, you know, we know that it was burnt down.
Down once, yeah.
But it exists now, and it's still publicly owned. People have shares in it, is what you're saying, Leigh.
Right.
Oh, okay. Now, that's news to me because I didn't know it was a publicly owned entity at all.
Yeah.
So that along with some other cinemas?
Yes. Well, you know, as I was alluding to, the Palace Amusement Company, which was the first publicly owned cinema company, merged with Russell Graham Investments Limited, and that brought Palace Amusement and J. Arthur Rank under the same umbrella.
I got you. Now, do you have anything in your documentation about the where in Jamaica the first moving picture was shown?
No, I didn't see that. As I said,
I've been trying to find that. I'm assuming it would be Kingston, because I know this machine, this special machine that I tell you, this Mr. Jackson operated, was in Kingston on exhibition. So I just thought, and here again is my point on the importance of documentation. You know, because if this Englishman who happened to be living in Jamaica at the time was not keeping a diary of his daily activities, we would not know that the first invention to show, you know, a graphic, let's call it a graphic or a picture, was called the Magic Lantern, and that it was in Jamaica shortly after it was invented.
Yeah.
So it's just from the rambling or the writing or the, you know, just the casual writing of this individual that is shedding light on this information. So with that said, I would like to remind all our listeners that we all have wonderful stories that should be chronicled or jotted down and written about. So my challenge to you is to bring your story alive in some form, and I would suggest that you use the form that is available to you that people long ago did not have, that can reside in cyberspace and never be destroyed. So with that said, when you interact with me or anyone else online, verbally, like we're doing now, you are leaving a piece of history, because everything on Blog Talk Radio so far is archived. And if you have ever made a comment and you remember what show you made the comment on, if you go in our archives, you will find that show, and you will hear your voice, and you will hear what you said. So I would invite you to share your stories with us. If you know of anyone with an interesting story that happened to be about growing up in Jamaica, we would welcome it. So please get in touch with us through sending us an email or just putting your hand up when you're on the board, or letting somebody else know about our show, or going to our website, which is www.backyardlabrish.com, and send us an email. So with that said, I'm going to thank you all for listening. Thank my loyal listeners for participating from the Bronx and from Long Island. And ask
Where
you to say, together we will say, Backyard Labrish was designed to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica.
Land
all together
we
now.
Love.
Land we
love. Amen.
So with that said, Miss Talay and Miss Janine and all the other listeners on the board, I would like to bid you a wonderful night and to remind you to make it a great week. See you next week. Bye.
God bless. Bye. Bye, Lee. Bye, Max.
Yeah.
Bye.